Oh, the places we will go. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. Our Advent in this new church year begins with a prayer from the prophet Isaiah. And it is at once a prayer and an urgent plea. You would think that a priest of nearly 38 years, who has preached on these passages every 3 years about, at least a dozen times now, perhaps could not be struck once again by these words from Isaiah. And yet I read and reread and held them in prayer numerous times this week. Every time I went back to engage them, they wrestled with my heart. These words that are both prayer and plea meet the agony and hopelessness inherent for many of us in these days. And they wrestle with our glimpses of hope. Despite this wrestling, I do feel enormous blessing at the gift of sharing yet another Advent and Christmas together, however we can reimagine gathering. So sharing this season of preparation, of waiting, of watching for that great feast of incarnation. And yet I have also had a feeling of sadness as November inevitably makes its way toward December. I took to listening to Christmas music earlier than usual, watching a Christmas movie or two with Shep, as a way of wrestling through what I feel at the state of our humanity and the always challenging anniversary of the Sandy Hook school tragedy just ahead in December. I find myself leaping too soon to the feast of Christmas with new life and hope to fill our being with the coming again of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And yet I say, in the midst of all we're struggling with, go ahead and leap. Back to this prayer, this plea I went. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. It's kind of like, get down here and fix this. Commentator William P. Brown called this a cry of pain seeking understanding. And that was it. It is it for me. This time of year, there is an inner pain that I carry, mixed now with the challenges we are living through, both heartbreakingly present as December is upon us. The brightness of the chilly December days bear the early darkness each day. The once beautiful fall gives way to the barrenness of trees and bushes and seemingly endless raking. The fallow ground where just weeks ago the beauty of God's creation blossomed in amazing hues, now dry earth and empty branches, recalling loss and death. It has, mind you, an altogether different beauty in its stark gray emptiness. And yet we trust that in this liminal time, this time of active waiting, active watching, anticipating, trusting that this gray earth and those barren branches will bear new leaves, brilliant color, new buds. There will be shoots of new life pushing up through the now crusted earth. Amazing, miraculous new life will come in them and in us. This year has been one filled, at least for me, with not a little despair over the state of our humanity. A loss of moral compass, civility, respect, and dignity for every person. Forgetting our call as people of faith and a nation built on the assertion that liberty and justice is for all, for all. And losing sight of the words on the Statue of Liberty that have been a light of hope for so many millions. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Shooting one another daily with 242 lives taken so far this year in St. Louis alone. Abandoning the neediest among us with a lack of emergency shelter, medical care and supports, legislative changes and tax reform, all that hurt the least, the most. Isaiah's words woke me to what is churning within, that's for sure. I look at Isaiah and at once I'm reminded all too clearly that there is no sentimental theology of easy grace. There wasn't for Israel in Isaiah's day, and there is none for us today. Look at Isaiah's words today. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Isaiah tells us of a God who is angry, who has hidden God's face from those who do not walk in the way of the righteous, who have forgotten and even rejected God. We are being called to look to a far more universal God than the God that Israel knew. In our day, our healing is dependent on our trust in remembering that we are all together the people of this loving God. Jews, Hindus, Muslims, agnostics, atheists, Buddhists, Christians, Baha'i, you name it. And we find our hope together. Advent, dear ones, is a time to be propelled out of ordinary time into a time where the earth, the world, we are pregnant with new possibility. Even amidst those seemingly dead trees, bushes, and the ground so cold and empty, it is a time of expectation. Things are growing. All these thin places are pregnant with hope and expectation of new life. There is also this radical sense that the world is coming to an end as our gospel speaks of the apocalypse, the end of time. The times are ending, and there is struggle and injustice all around us, consuming us. And then we come to Advent in our music, liturgy, and hopefully our preaching, there is a proclamation of a drastic interruption that is coming, that will take the bleakness and the sadness of this time and bring hope and new possibility of life. Wait for it. Watch for it. This bleakness we see and feel must be overturned, that God's hope for us might be fulfilled and justice may come. As one of my favorite t-shirts reads, "Justice is love out loud." Many of these apocalyptic readings are really saying that the systems need to be dismantled by God's love in us, so that we all can see the light and hope around us and within us. The readings of Advent are not meant so much as to shove us into the future parousia, the second coming of Christ, though we need to be mindful and engaged in God's work of love in this world. They are meant to point us to the richness of this bleak and fallow-filled time with miraculous new life. It is meant to come in this time of hopelessness and barrenness and help us to see that right now, despite all the evidence to the contrary. This very moment, this bleak time, is lit up with eternity. There is something in this fallow period, something wonderful and alive, leading us to a festival placed in the darkest time of the calendar, which leads to the new life and hope to come in the feast of Christmas, the celebration of new birth and God's incarnation, God's coming with love into the injustice of this world through us. Even as I feel sadness of memory that comes for me in this time of year, and I know for some of you, we light a candle of hope, and one candle, one little spark at a time, love and light come into this fallow space. An expectation emerges miraculously as God once again wrestles hope into our being. In my study this week of our scriptures for today, I came across some words written by Patricia de Jong in her commentary on this passage from Isaiah. And I have come back to them all week long. She writes, "Hope is what is left when your worst fears have been realized and you are no longer optimistic about the future. Hope is what comes with a broken heart, willing to be mended. No eye has seen any God besides you," Isaiah pleads, "who works for those who wait, for the forces of hate and evil to be overthrown, the people to be restored, and the house of David to be revived. A righteous branch will emerge to execute justice, hope, and possibility for all God's people. Hold on to the promises of God," encourages the prophet. "Even though the circumstances are bleak and seem nearly impossible, we pray for the hope of Advent, that God will break into the ordinary in extraordinary ways, bringing the promise of peace, hope, justice, and restored life, renewing in us the desire to bring that love anew into our broken world." John continued, "At Advent, we and all God's children, all God's people, are called to summon the courage and the spiritual strength to remember that the holy does break into the daily. In tiny ways, we can open our broken hearts to the healing grace of God, who opens the way of peace. May that peace come upon us as a healing balm, as a mighty winter river, gushing and rushing through the valleys of our pain and fear. This is not a season for passive waiting and watching. It is a season of opening our lives and our souls with energetic anticipation, renewed hope, and the abundant love of God to share. Where is the holy breaking into your ordinary days with the deep desire to make your heart strong again so that it may receive the flood of hope and peace, justice and love that will help us move out into the world with courage and compassion? I am finding this hope anew and again. I'm reminded in our Advent scriptures of God's unwavering love, bringing hope forth from the fallow places. I'm reminded that I have felt such hope before, and I will feel it over and over again. Even physically distanced and with caring masks on our faces, I see God's love shining through you. And I know God is doing a new thing. So keep awake. And so we do not lose heart. Rather, at this miraculous season, it moves into a festival of light. We live with our hearts broken open so that compassion, caring, and God's reckless and outrageous love can find a way into our beings and through us find a way out into the heart of the world. Make straight in our hearts, O Lord, a highway for hope and new life to be born anew. Amen.